Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to The Naked Truth, hosted by me, Lori Corrigan, and sponsored by Snake Charmer Men's Body Waxing. This show is all about nakedness, spiritual, emotional, mental, where I pay tribute to the valuable contributions you gentlemen make both personally and professionally. It's a safe zone for you guys to speak your minds amidst this social climate where you struggle to be heard. And I just have to say, it's a little chilly in here today because we took a dump in the temperature after this last few weeks of 115-ish. I'm going to grab my sweater because it's 102. We're on our way to fall with that temp. And I have Dave Walzer here to help me celebrate that drop in temperature. Today, though, we're going to talk something real close to home for small business, and that is about the Chamber of Commerce. It is so surprising how many people have never heard of the Chamber of Commerce, much less understand the incredible support system it is for small business. Dave, longtime ambassador of several different chambers, joins me today to enlighten us about how the Chamber operates and why entrepreneurs should get involved. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Laurie. Thank you for having me. I am wicked awesome. How are you?
Oh, my gosh. I should have put money on it. I knew you were going to say those two words the first three seconds of this show.
I'm from Boston.
We'll get to wicked awesome later, okay? Because there's a special meaning to that. I'm looking at this list of just partial of the nonprofit boards you are a member of, an advisor for, and an officer of, just some: Gilbert National Little League, Lighthouse of the Valley, Fans Across America, Operation Heart to Heart, and Chandler International Film Festival, which is really cool. The big one I see here currently happening in Chandler is ambassador with the Downtown Chandler Community Partnership.
Yes.
Can we start off with that?
Let's do that.
Okay.
I recently decided to join that fantastic organization. I spend a lot of time in Chandler. I have a lot of clients and a lot of friends. So it just made sense for me to get the message out even more for those businesses in downtown Chandler. There's so much growth going on right now, and there's so much amazing stuff happening. I have a few followers on social media, so I figured whatever I can do to leverage my network to help them get the message out of the fantastic things that are going on in downtown Chandler.
So for those who are not close in the valley, because the Phoenix is huge.
It is.
And you can go as far, I like to think, Anthem, for those who know Anthem in relation to Chandler, it might as well be Flagstaff.
Right.
Because we are northwest, south, and east as far as our locations are, and we do not leave those corners. So those who don't know what's going on here in Chandler, give just a little peek, especially downtown Chandler.
You got it. Well, the whole valley's been growing. I mean, I've lived out here 8 years, and the whole place is just exploding, the whole valley. However, Chandler holds a special place in my heart because of the way that they're growing. The city government has had a lot of responsible growth. There are a lot of mom-and-pop restaurants and different businesses that are coming in downtown Chandler rather than just the chains everywhere. And that's a really cool approach to get back to small business. That is the engine that drives the whole economy. And Chandler is really, in my opinion, doing a wonderful job bringing those small businesses in and also helping to retain and bring in large businesses. They just have a great mix. And their downtown has some amazing concepts, you know, that just came in and are coming in. One of them was Flick's Brew House.
Yes.
Place is amazing. They brew their own beer. They have a wonderful brewmaster. She is amazing. And they have first run movies and all kinds of great stuff going on. That's just one of the many things. That's in the corner off of Arizona Avenue, which is the main drag basically through Chandler and Chandler Boulevard. So
they're great. Right on the corner.
Yeah.
They've got a front row seat to their own front row seat.
They sure do. They sure do. And then there's a lot of other projects going in. There's one called New Square. It's Spike Lawrence and his team is putting that up right now. There's some office space going in. There's new restaurant space that's going in there, and also a Hilton Garden Inn hotel. So that's really cool. And then behind that is a parking garage that's going to be done They were saying November, but it looks like it might get done earlier. It'll really help out with the congestion, right? In any downtown area, when we have growth, it's great, but construction kind of constricts a lot of parking and things like that sometimes. So Chandler's done a good job. They already put up a brand new parking garage last year, and this is another one to have, you know, parking spaces for all these people moving in and coming in to hang out. Chandler, I feel, is really like a destination kind of place now, you know? There's so much great energy going in. There's the arts, you know, that's going on. Chandler Symphony, there's so many really cool things. So again, that's why I wanted to get involved with the DCCP and really help to get the message out there on those businesses, especially in downtown.
And the arts is 30 years this year, isn't
yeah,
it?
30 years.
It's got quite a lineup coming up.
Yeah, it's an amazing season upcoming, yes.
It is. And the parking garages are both going to be free?
Yes, they are. There's three other parking garages in the downtown Chandler area. Those are also free. Mm-hmm. And they have a ride. It's called The Wave. So you can shuttle from the parking garages to the downtown areas. So they're really thinking ahead, you know, on that kind of stuff.
The streets downtown Chandler are not as wide as, say, something new construction. And that's what's been going on downtown for the last 3 months, which actually ended yesterday, was it? And everything's open again.
Yeah, that's great.
Yes, yes. Breathing room for all
of
the small businesses.
Less cones, more people, right?
Yes, right. It's no accident that a good number of the downtown merchants are local, are independents. They're not corporations.
Yes.
That was strategic. Yes.
Yes, it sure is.
Even Dierks Bentley's isn't considered a huge chain. It's still a hometown guy, right?
Right. And that went in Gilbert, which was cool. Don't know if they have plans for the Chandler area, but who knows? There's so much going in. You know,
I should have prefaced that by saying the East Valley.
Yeah,
because Chandler and
the growth. Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I actually, when I first moved out here 8 years ago, I lived in Gilbert first. I've lived there for quite a few years, and then I moved to Chandler, and I'm in Mason now currently. However, it's amazing. The two downtowns, Gilbert and Chandler, have totally transformed themselves just in the last 8 years. I mean, I'll only imagine how much change the people have seen that have been here for a while.
Mm-hmm.
8 years isn't that long in the scheme of things, right? But it's amazing how the planning for Gilbert and the planning for Chandler, they both have a fantastic growth and have brought in some amazing concepts. However, Chandler was able to keep the small town feel, even though they're a really big and growing city.
Yes.
So, again, it goes to, you know, to the city government of their vision for their city. I like that I live and support in a place that has a very clear vision for what they want their future to be. However, it's not so rigid that they can't make changes midstream on things if there's, you know, new technologies and new things that come out that will definitely benefit the city.
And that plays very well in line with Chief Duggan was here from the police department.
Yes, he's a great guy.
He's such a cool guy in all kinds of ways.
He sure is.
He was also talking about his job and his department and everything about it runs well for many reasons, but the way this city operates and the way it is so interwoven with the constituency, with the residents, very open. I see the social media from both PD and the city and the chamber. They're so approachable. There's no us and them here in this community.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. In Chandler.
I thoroughly enjoy that. You know, where I grew up, you didn't have access to city officials.
No.
Unless you are a huge business or
in trouble.
Whatever, or in trouble.
Yeah.
Chandler, the mayor, the vice mayor, the city council, you know, city managers, they make themselves available. They come to different events. They go to the really cool restaurants and you know, places that everybody goes. And they're, like you said, they're very approachable. And to be inclusive in growth is a great thing. And Chandler does a wonderful job with that.
Yes, I absolutely agree. So now that we've mentioned the chamber in general, Chamber of Commerce, what is it? Why is it there?
Well, you know, it's funny. My grandfather had a business in Boston, a plumbing company that my great uncle started in 1927. My uncles own it now. And he said right before I went into the Air Force, David, I know you're not going to live in Boston forever. wherever you move, make sure you join the local chamber of commerce so you can ingrain yourself in the community. I didn't really get what he said because I was like 19 and what did I know? However, when I moved down to Arizona, to the East Valley to work, I remembered what he said. So I'm not from here. I don't have a network here. I don't know people here. And I was in a brand new industry that I knew nothing about. I knew one thing. I needed people to stay in business. And I remembered what he said. So I joined the Chandler Chamber, Gilbert and Mesa all at the same time. I attended networking events, Phoenix, Ahwatukee, Casa Grande, Maricopa, you name it. I would go Scottsdale. I would go anywhere to meet people. And he was so right. You know, I focused on the Chandler Chamber for a few years. It was an amazing experience. It was one of the best business and personal decisions I ever made to be a part of those chambers of commerce. They are such an advocate for business. They can really up the exposure on people. I have volunteered to be an ambassador because I love connecting people anyway. I naturally do that. So it just made sense for me to ambass and to let people know. It is now. To let people know about the value of joining the, you know, the chambers of commerce. Every city has one. It's such a wonderful experience to not only be able to grow your business, but to also make some friends along the way and have some fun and that kind of stuff. But he was so right. People recognize, you know, people recognize me, which is kind of cool.
Well, but more you're pretty recognizable. Okay, so for those who don't know, you have a salt and pepper goatee.
Yes.
Which is natural. You have not coiffed that, right?
Nope.
You're rather tall. You yes. have this beautiful toothy smile.
Thank you. My parents paid a lot of money for that.
Oh, did they?
They did.
And then when you open your mouth to speak, this is what we hear. So you are memorable on a number of levels. Oh, go right ahead and finish.
Thank you. You know, with the exposure from being a member of the Chamber of Commerce, it just helped. You know, they say visibility and credibility lead to profitability. It certainly does. I had been so blessed to be a part of that organization. And my goodness, I wouldn't have volunteered to be an ambassador with the DCCP had I not, you know, seen and learned so much about Chandler through the Chamber of Commerce. They really do a wonderful job with public policy, letting people know what's coming down the road, granting access to, you know, city officials and things like that. And I'm sure that, you know, Tempe and Mesa and all the other chambers have those relationships. But man, Chandler's the synergy between the chamber and the city and, mm-hmm. you know, different organizations. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So they are an advocate for businesses, one to help with whatever it is they need as far as getting their business going, getting their message out there. And it's just a good way to gain more business.
It is a big bottom line, which also goes hand in hand with personal mm-hmm. connections.
Yes.
I've been here exactly 1 year mm-hmm. From larger Phoenix, and I didn't know, like you, to get involved. I thought this was something that had to do with city government, and it was not for me to get involved.
Oh, yeah.
And when I got here, it was a springboard for so many things, mm-hmm. not the least of which was the Citizens Police Academy. Have you been through that?
I have not, but I've heard fantastic things about that.
It's incredible, and that's only because I would hear that on the Chamber's social media, mm-hmm. because FD, PD, the Chamber, the city, all of these agencies and entities work together, which
yes.
I have learned is very unusual.
That's true.
The East Valley seems to have that down.
The East Valley is doing some great things with that.
Yes. And I wonder if it's because it's sort of the new kid on the block as far as the Valley goes. So mm-hmm. learning from other situations and doing yeah. it differently. To switch gears here for a moment, you're quite outgoing and confident in your presence in a crowd. So those who say, shoot, I'm scared to death of people or just not comfortable in the crowd scene, explain to them how you don't have to be in order to become part of this wonderfulness.
Right. That is an awesome statement there. I am not an outgoing people person by nature. How I was very reserved and quiet, you know, as a kid. I don't know. Do they have DECA, Distributive Education Clubs of America, out here in high school? They do?
I'm not sure.
Yes.
Okay.
Awesome. So I joined DECA, and my teacher, Mr. G, he's like, why are you so quiet? He's like, you got to get out there and talk. You'll never be successful if you don't get out there and talk. And I was like, what? What's this guy talking about? He was so right. It was totally a decision. I decided sophomore year in high school that I was going to put myself in uncomfortable situations because I didn't like speaking to people. So if I wasn't concerned or worried, well, I wasn't growing, right? So I went and talked to everybody that I could. And it was, oh my gosh, it was so ridiculously uncomfortable. Even now, sometimes in front of a large group, you know, a couple of hundred or whatever, if I'm speaking in front of, yeah, it's really nerve-wracking.
And who then, would know? Right. Nobody would know. I'm sitting here with my jaw on the floor. You're telling me this.
Well, who we are is constantly evolving, right?
Yeah.
If we don't continue to grow, we're never going to get to the person that we're supposed to be. And I wanted to be successful in business and am because I chose to grow into a personality that would allow me to be a good connector with people, and not be afraid to talk to them, not like hang on the wall in a networking event. Of course, nobody taught you how to network. So
yes.
My first chamber mixer, oh my gosh, that was, whew, I'm like sweating just thinking about it because it was a room full of people and I knew one person. It was probably like 150 people. And I was like, oh my gosh. So I hung out with my buddy, you know, and he introduced me to some people and away we went. And so I made sure that I did that when I'm sitting with, you know, somebody that's new to networking or really wants to get out there and grow their business face-to-face. If you go to an event, make sure you have a friend with you.
Yes.
And you can hang out with that person and they can either introduce you around or the two of you can go up and talk to people together. It's not as scary if you just focus on one person at a time. I like to set a goal for myself when I'm at an event, even if it's my own event, that I want to meet at least four new people. Because I found myself for a little bit when I started going to events and knowing some people that I would just hang out with my friends and that really wasn't the time and place to do that,
mm-hmm.
right? We go to networking events to meet people. If you're hanging out with your buddies, you're not meeting anybody. So I make sure that I say hi to the people that I know, but I want to meet some new people. That's why I'm there. That's why I'm taking the time away from, you know, the other things I could be doing to accomplish some goals and meet some people and help to grow my business. And the first thing is just be yourself, be authentic, be yourself. You know, I always try when I'm chatting with somebody, I'm listening for what they do and I'm going through my mental Rolodex. I don't know if people even know what that is anymore, but of my contacts.
Our generation.
Of, right? Of who I can connect them with that I know already based on this person that I just met. So I almost always try to give them a referral the first time we meet because, you know, I just give with the expectation to give and not to receive.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good way to do it because it comes back around, my gosh, I don't even know how many fold, but a bunch of fold, tenfold, I don't even know.
Thousandfold. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But yeah, networking events, you know, they were kind of scary to me at first. Like I said, you know, go with a friend, talk to people together and realize why you're there, why you're doing it. You know, why should you go out and meet people? Well, you're going to whatever event because you want to grow your business. You want to help more people with your product or service. You want to make more money for yourself and your family. So go ahead and get a little bit uncomfortable. Be a grown-up about it and talk to some people and accomplish your goal and your intention to go to that event is to do those things. So do it.
And that's brilliant to say to bring someone along mm-hmm. because there are people who struggle in crowds.
Sure.
And it's very, very uncomfortable to the point where you overcame that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people aren't ready to do it. So
sure.
When... how do you suggest they approach others? Do they just go in and start talking? Do they stand and listen to the conversation for a little bit and be invited inside?
That's you can do either. I would find a couple of people that were talking about something interesting to me, and I would stand there and smile and nod until they acknowledged me, and then I would start talking. Or I would just go up and introduce myself to somebody. I always tried to find somebody that I may have had something in common with, you know, so. If I saw somebody, I generally wear a shirt and tie. So I'm going to go up to the other person in a shirt and tie because not many people wear those things out here.
Nice.
And make a comment like, oh, are you as hot in that get up as I am? You know, or something to just kind of break the ice and then find out about them. I typically ask people, are you from here or are you a transplant like me? You know, and just kind of go with the questions that way.
So perhaps Google icebreaking networking questions.
That is a good idea.
Okay, because those two are perfect and can be used with anyone, by anyone, and in any situation.
Yes.
Excellent. Well, thank you. That was the nugget of the show. Now, I want to switch again to how did your time in the Air Force propel you? See what I did?
That's good. Nice
to where you are now.
Oh, my gosh. I thought I was all grown up at 19 when I failed miserably at college because I didn't realize that you don't get any credit for the social aspect of college. You only get credit for the academic aspect of college. And I didn't get that concept. So I decided to go in the military because I didn't know what I wanted to do in life, but I knew I needed some discipline and I needed to grow myself in a direction that I could be more professional and that kind of stuff. So why not go halfway around the world and learn some things? So it was a really cool time being in the Air Force. I loved serving my country. It was awesome. I consider it an honor to be a veteran, to be part of that unending line of men and women that were willing to give down their lives, to give their lives for their country. We had a lot of people that have served in my family, and there's a lot of vets out here. I'd like to do some work with veterans organizations too. But my gosh, being in the Air Force helped me with the discipline, helped me with being able to have some sudden changes come up and just roll with the punches, like not freak out. You know, there was, we had an incident with a jet. It had hit a flock of birds and it was going down. And I was on the radio and on the phone and on the other radio and everything all at the same time so these guys could get down safely. But with the training that I received in the Air Force, I didn't freak out. I just knew the steps that needed to be completed for them to land safely. And that totally transfers to the rest of my life. If something happens that is not expected and not positive, it's all good. You know, there's a system in place as far as, okay, this is what happened. Let me go through and see what I can do. And if I can do something, great. If I can't do something, okay, no use to worry about it and just move forward. It also helped with the discipline and being accountable. You don't have a choice. In my career field in the Air Force, I had to be at my shop at 7:30 in the morning. No problem. Even if I went out and had some fun the night before, I made sure that I was not only at work, but I was chipper and ready to rock. So
you can put on the public face like the rest of us, but you're also 19.
Yes.
You tried doing that now. You go pull a bender, okay? And then I want to see you in here at 7:30 in the morning tomorrow.
Done. I could do that still.
You still could?
Yeah, it's all good. 45 is young.
Oh, I thought you were in your 60s. It must be the facial hair.
It totally is.
Oh, gosh, if we could only take a break right now. So, okay, current situation with you is in the financial field.
Yes. Yes, I work with Opus Financial Solutions. They are an amazing company. They were founded 9 years ago, just about 9 years ago now. And we help educate individuals, families, and small businesses on financial concepts and how money works. We teach people to save money, to reduce taxes, you know, long-term, and to make money long-term. So we use an educational approach. There are a lot of things that we as adults are ignorant of in our lives, and that's okay. However, there are some things we should not be ignorant of, and money is one of those things that we should know a bit about, you know, because it's only going to help us in the long run. Everybody wants to retire at some point, but in order to retire, you have to have money to do that. So I help people in that respect. And we are blowing up as a company. We grew over 100% over the last year and then the previous and the previous. It's just amazing. Wonderful. What we're able to do. Our founder and CEO, he did such a great job setting the company up and having us aligned the right way as far as it's so cool to be on a conference call with the leadership in your company. And one of the topics is, well, if you just live the golden rule, you don't have to worry about customers complaining or doing the wrong thing for somebody. No, just treat others as you would expect to be treated. And I've worked for a lot of organizations and with a lot of organizations. I'd never heard that in a corporate setting before, and it's awesome. I'm so, so happy and thankful to be blessed to have the association with the company, and because it's not the job I moved down here for. The job I moved down here for did not work out, but I was supposed to totally move down here so that I could do this work with Opus. So.
And with the various cities.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So speak for a moment on those who don't have much of a savings, who think your business doesn't apply to them. There's a starting point. Where is that starting point?
It doesn't matter when you start. It matters that you start. I have helped people that are 22 and I've helped people that are 83 and everybody in between, people that make 18,000 a year, people that make millions a year. It doesn't matter. There is a plan and a financial product of something for everybody. Retirement's going to come whether we like it or not. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to have to live off my son. I mean, he's 13 now. He's not my retirement. It would be nice if he was going to be the next Tom Brady or something. That would be cool. but literally anybody can benefit from the financial concepts. And with a little bit of knowledge, then they can make some informed decisions about some things that they can do to better their, you know, their family's future and their future.
There's definitely a structure many of us fail to put into place early enough and then are playing catch up.
Yes.
So those say, what is that sweet spot of age?
Oh my gosh. I wish I would have started investing when I was 21 years old. That would have been great. But 2008 happened. I guess I would say assertive now in the climate that we're in, as far as business goes and stuff like that. So my investments at the time in 2008, when other people lost 50%, I got to lose 75%. Mm-hmm. So I did a F5 refresh in 2009, basically with my whole life. I mean, we pretty much lost everything. And, it's better to start in your 20s, but it doesn't matter. I help people that are already in retirement. I help people that are just a few years from retirement. It literally doesn't matter when anybody, the earlier the better, obviously, right? But it doesn't really matter what age. There can always be something done for somebody, but the earlier the better, of course.
And we don't have the tools. Those of us who are not in your industry, think we know what we're doing, but there are some things and they have to sort of orchestrate in a certain fashion.
Sure.
You can't skip steps a lot of times, right? So right. There is a process.
There is a process. And, you know, when we look at the advice we've gotten as Americans over the years, a lot of that stuff, almost all the financial advice that people were given, you know, was based on theory, which if something has never been done before, you have to base it on something. However, over the years, that theory didn't produce the results that people thought it was going to produce. So that's why there's a lot of people that aren't quite where they want to be financially because they're running off old advice that didn't translate to success upon real life.
And doesn't now.
And doesn't now.
The way things have so changed.
Sure.
Well, I think, okay. So now here's what we're going to cap this off with.
Okay.
Explain Wicked Awesome and then explain what it's attached to.
So Wicked Awesome, it's Wicked is like very or something like that. You're growing up in the Boston area, it's Wicked Awesome. It's, you know, it's Wicked Great, it's Wicked whatever, but it's just like a higher form of very in front of a word. Yeah,
yeah,
it's exponentially better than just very awesome. It's Wicked Awesome.
And that has to be said that way too, right?
It does. It totally does. And I started a happy hour about 4 years ago, just over 4 years ago, and we didn't have a name for it. And people were like, oh, you got to come up with a name. I was like, yeah, I don't know what to name it. And so they said, well, you always say it's going to be Wicked Awesome. Get over here. You know, come on out. I'm like, okay, I'll name it that. So I did. So it's kind of a little bit of a shout out to my Boston roots, my New England roots. We had a good group at Bourbon Jack's actually on Wednesday this past week. Bourbon Jack's is in downtown Chandler. Amazing entertainment. They had a really good group that night also. The food, oh my gosh. I'm a big fan of fried pickles, and those were the best ones that I've ever had so far.
Wow.
I haven't eaten fried pickles everywhere yet, but those ones at Bourbon Jack's, those things were nuts. Oh my gosh. They were so good. And, you know, the John, the owner, and the staff, they're so welcoming and everything. We really had a great time, the group. And again, I got to meet at least four new people.
Mm-hmm.
And establish those personal relationships that'll grow into business relationships. And that's what Wicked Awesome Happy Hour is all about. Just hanging out, eat, drink, and be merry. And, you know, be yourself. There's no, like, name badges or any of that kind of stuff. It's just a bunch of business people getting together and hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're just building community through positivity. It's funny because I had somebody ask me, well, why do you invite other people that are in financial services to your happy hour, their competition? And the way I look at it is there is no such thing as competition. There's so much out there. It's in abundance. So any kind of financial person can certainly come because they may not get along, you know, with me professionally, but somebody may get along with one of them professionally. That's what it's all about. It's funny. The questions people ask, you can tell where their mind is.
Yes.
You know, and a person that would ask a question like that has the kind of a little bit of that scarcity mentality. Oh my gosh, it's not enough. I don't want competition. It's about collaboration, or I heard somebody say it, collaboration or something like that.
Yeah.
But I mean, collaboration is the way to go. I mean, a rising tide, right? It raises all ships.
Mm-hmm.
And we can do more together as a group than you can do individually. And Wicked Awesome Happy Hours, it's just about that. You know, Shay Willis with Go Chandler, she helps me on the production end of that and everything. Oh my gosh, it's been so great that she's been able to help me out over the last, almost year and a half. That's crazy. It's been very good. She has quite, you know, a reach in the Chandler area.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we do, Wicked Awesome Happy Hour, different businesses around Chandler. We generally have about 60 to 80 business people show up. And it's 3 hours. It's from 6 to 9 p.m. on the third Wednesday of every month. And there we go.
No charge.
No charge.
You just take care of your own food and drink. And...
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. There's one other thing I was going to ask you about that. Well, it'll come back to me. In the meantime, is there anything else we've left out you'd like to talk on?
Yeah, just real quickly, I want to talk about Operation Heart to Heart.
Please.
They... are doing some wonderful work on women and children that they've rescued from sex trafficking and human trafficking in Nigeria. They've been around for, I guess, going on 10 years now. And not only do they rescue these women, but they teach them a vocation and help them with a place to live and counseling and so forth so that they can become productive members of society again. So we're doing a pop-up tasting at Ginger Monkey. It's September 1st. $25, all you can eat, all you can drink pretty much. It's going to be wonderful. But they're going to, part of the proceeds are going to go to that. And then they're doing a, oh my gosh, I'm so excited, an African fashion show, October 19th at a venue in Chandler. The proceeds, again, are going to go to help their organization. And then they have brought their concept here. So they're partnering up with some local organizations like CC's Hope Center in Chandler. They rescue women 18 to 24 from sex trafficking. And I was surprised to find this out, but the U.S. unfortunately is the number one country for that. And the Phoenix area is one of the top metro areas within the country. And here as a country, we don't put all the resources we can towards those type of victims. They get rescued, which is great, but what next?
What
do they do then? You know, they just go on the system and what happens? So Princess Jennifer Lee has brought the concept of what she's doing in Africa and partnered up here so that we're going to have these type of programs going on in the East Valley, which is amazing.
How did you get involved?
I met her at a networking event.
That
How
was
about that?
Perfect circle.
I met her at a lunch I didn't even want to go to, but my schedule freed up and I was like, I'm going. Because I found if there's something I don't want to do, I better run and do
exactly.
it as fast as possible.
Oh, there's the other nugget for the show. Oh, perfect. And so, okay, that goes right back to those who are terrified to go mm-hmm. to anything. They can go and they can sit there and they can not, you're the type of person who would perhaps hone in on a person like that.
If I see somebody sitting by themselves, I'm going to talk to them and I'm going to ask them what they do, who they are, and find out what is the best person for you to meet in your business. Mm-hmm. And let's go get them.
And that's it. It's like a shot, real quick, done. Yep. And then you get the lollipop, you get the referral.
Right.
You have a lot of lollipops. Hope you have some chocolate stuff too.
I do. I'm a huge chocolate fan, so yes.
Okay. Yeah. Darker milk.
All, but dark is my favorite.
Good. That's smart. All right. How can people find you?
I am pretty easy to find. I am on Facebook, Dave Walzer. I'm on LinkedIn. And then
spell your name.
WALTZER, like the dance with an AR at the end. And you can email, you can call, you can text, all that fun stuff. So yeah, I'm easy to get a hold of.
And with that, you have been listening to The Naked Truth, hosted by me, Lori Corrigan, and sponsored by Snake Charmer Men's Body Waxing, the show that's all about nakedness, spiritual, emotional, mental, where I pay tribute to the valuable contributions you gentlemen make, both personally and professionally. It's a safe zone for you guys to speak your minds amidst this current social climate where you really struggle to be heard. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time. Bye-bye.